Chazor zeichen nishos habachi chesro shagim nevam Yehuda, misero Shabbos daf kuf chav. Dr. Mishnah, you're allowed to save a basket full of loaves of bread from a fire on Shabbos, even if the basket has enough for 100 meals. You're also allowed to save a round cake of pressed figs and a full barrel of wine, even though there's a lot more in there than you need for 3 meals. A person may even tell other people, come and save food for yourself. If these other people are smart, they'll return the food to him after. And after Shabbos, they'll ask him for money for the time and the effort spent saving the food. Food may only be saved into a courtyard, into another chatzar, where there was an Erev, where he was allowed to carry over there. Meaning that the last mission we were talking about, Sefer Torah, that's where we suspended this rule, but not for food. Ben Meseri says it could even be put into a courtyard that has no Erev in place. Ben Meseri says it's cooler applies to food as well. He may also save all the utensils that he needs for Shabbos to this type of chotzer. With regard to clothing, he may put on as much clothing as he possibly can from the burning house and then walk into the courtyard with them and leave them there, take off all those clothing over there, and then go back and fill up again. Rabbi Yossi says he can only wear 18 articles of clothing. Tanakama said after he leaves the clothing in the courtyard, he may go back into the house, put on as much clothing as he could again, and bring them into the courtyard as well. He can also tell others, come and help me save the clothing. Back to Gemara, we learned you can only save 3 meals worth of food. How come over here you can save even a lot more? Huna says this mission is because it's all in one basket, it's called one effort. Last time we were talking about individual loaves of bread, that's why it's only enough for 3. Abba Zav, the name of Rav, said that really both Mishnahites are discussing where he had a basket of loaves. The difference is in the previous Mishnah, he was carrying it into a second courtyard, and therefore we limit how much he's allowed to take out. The Mishnah over here is discussing carrying it into the immediate courtyard, which requires less effort, and therefore more food is allowed to be carried there and saved. Huna, Rav Yeshua, asked, what if he puts a bunch of loaves of bread into a bundle, into a basket? Is that considered to be an effort now carrying it as a second effort, or is it because right now he put them into a basket, it's still considered only one effort, he can save as much as he wants? From what the way Rava said about in the case with the barrel of broken wine on the roof, Rava says you can put a bowl there and leave and get a lot more even than you need for 3 meals. So from there's mashma that the collecting, once you put it into the loaves of bread into a basket, it's considered to be one effort to carry them all out. It wouldn't be a problem. She said, the people who are saving the food are really saving it from Hefker. The owner told them, save it for yourselves. So why does the Mishnah say if they're smart, they'll give it back to them and ask for money? Why don't they just keep the food? Our answer is they have the right to keep the food. The Mishnah teaching us, Mizrach Hasidus, they should give it back. If he's worried about Mizrach Hasidus, he shouldn't be looking to get paid an effort spent on for time and effort spent on Shabbos either. Rather, Rav said, we're talking about Yirah Shemayim over here. Someone's a Yirah Shemayim who's not looking to benefit from others, which is why he returns the food, but he also doesn't want to do things for free, which is why he wants to get paid for his time. Mishnah is saying, if he's smart, he'll realize that you're allowed to get paid for your time spent on Shabbos in this way, and therefore he'll ask to get paid. Mishnah said, Olhecha Matzilin v'chulu. Gemara, why is it when he's saving food, he tells him, save for yourselves, and when he's saving clothing, he says, save with me? Gemara says, running food, you're only allowed to save 3 meals worth, he has to tell him, save for yourself. With regard to clothing, he can continue to bring in more and more clothing, like we learned, so therefore he can ask people to help him outright. Right says, or Meir says, you can continue putting on more clothing and bringing it out into the chotzer and leaving them there and going and filling up again. Rabbi Yossi says, you can only wear 18 articles of clothing and no more. Rabbi Nana says you're allowed to put out a moist goat skin on a box or a closet that caught fire on the part that's not yet on fire to prevent the fire from spreading there. Mishnah says you're allowed to take a partition of any kalim, whether empty or full, to block the path of an oncoming fire. Rabbi Yossi says it cannot be done with new earthenware kalim that are full of water because they will definitely burst and it'll extinguish the fire. Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav, says if a garment gets caught with fire, you're allowed to put water on the other end that has not yet caught fire so that when the fire gets there, it'll be extinguished. And if it does when it reaches the water, so be it. Rabbi Bryce says you're allowed to unfold and put on a garment that has caught fire. You're allowed to unroll a Sefer Torah that caught fire, and if it gets extinguished, fine. It's mashma. Anything more direct, like applying water to a garment, would be aser. Rabbi says Rav holds like a Shimon Nanas in the Mishnah that allows placing the goatskin on the box. Rabbi Shimon Nanas only allowed the goatskin because it's fireproof and only because it prevents the fire spread. He would not allow the application of water which extinguishes the fires. Since Rabbi Yossi prohibits using kalim that will burst, it seems that Rabbi Shimon would allow it. We see that Rabbi Shimon allows indirect extinguishing of a fire. Bryce says a candle is lit on a board and you want to move it. You're allowed to shake off the candle, and if it extinguishes the fire, so be it. Rabbi Yane says it's only allowed to be done if the candle was left there accidentally. If it was left there intentionally, the board itself becomes a bustle of Dover Osir, and therefore it becomes Osir to move. It says if a candle is behind the door, you're allowed to open and close the door, and if the fire gets extinguished from the wind, so be it. Rav strongly disagreed with anyone who passed in this way. Rav held that Rav Shimon would say that it's Osir, because he held that Rav would say it's a psik resha. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to open a door which is opposite a bonfire on Shabbos, even though the wind will actually fan the fire. Abaya strongly disagree with that. Mark explains we're talking about a regular, not an extra strong wind, not an extra weak wind. So Abaya says we're geyser in that case for an unusually strong wind, which would definitely be usher. Rabbi Yehuda says we're not geyser. Mishnah said oisim mechitza v'chulu. From the Mishnah, mashmas the Rabbanim are more lenient and allow an indirect extinguishing of fire. And Rabbi Yehuda is more stringent. However, Bryce says the Rabbanim are the one who asser making a petition of earthenware kalim. Rabbi Yehuda actually allows with certain earthenware kalim. Where it says the entire Bryce is the view of Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi is saying that a partition to halt the oncoming fire may be made of kelim that won't break, such as metal kelim and certain earthenware kelim. That's what he means. Where Bryce says that if someone has the name of Hashem written on his skin, so if he goes to the mikveh, the rabbanon say he has to cover it over with something to prevent it from being erased directly. Rabbi Yosi says he can go to the mikveh without wrapping around the area, as long as he doesn't rub the area. So you see that the rabbanon have a problem with an indirect erasing, and Rabbi Yosi allows it. Seems to be contradictory to the shitas here with extinguishing the fire. The reason why Rabbi Yosi allows it over there, because the pasuk says by erasing Hashem's name, loy sasun kain. So sasun teaches that you have that it's only a problem of direct erasing, not indirect. Al-Gabi Shabbos also the pasuk says loy sasa kol molocha. Over there he has a problem with indirect. Truth really, Rabbi Yosi would allow indirect also, but because a person over here is in the state of behola, from fear of losing all his possessions, he may come to extinguish the fire, and that's where Rabbi Yosi's geyser and doesn't allow it. But only required to wrap the Shem Hashem on the person's arm, then where it's written, only because it's bizoyant to stand there without clothing having the Shem Hashem, not because of a problem of erasing. Rabbi Yosi would say, cover it with your hand. And Echnami, you can't be there without clothing with the Shem Hashem, but cover it with your hand. And Rabbi Yosi doesn't let a gemi, doesn't let you cover it with your hand only if you don't have something, a gemi or some type of material to cover it with. However, if you do, avada, you should use it. Rabbanon are geyser, they said, don't go to the mikveh if you don't have something to cover it with. Rabbi Yosi says, I'd rather you not push off tefillah b'zmano, and I'd rather use your hand, and I'm not afraid that you're going to remove it. Like it says, Rabbanon say tefillah b'zmano lav mitzvah, Rabbi Yosi says tefillah b'zmano is mitzvah.